Certainly want to thank Brother Gene for the humble prayer he offered up on our behalf, and I would ask that you would continue to pray for the furtherance of the service, that the Lord would bless the time that I stand before you to the benefit of each and every one of us, but to the glory and honor of his holy and righteous name. Over the last few months, a thought that's been on my mind pretty heavily is the brevity of life, meaning the how short the time is, how brief that life is. And, you know, the older I get, the more real that becomes and the more apparent it truly is. When we're young folks, teenagers, when I was Dylan and Colton's age, I didn't give life a whole lot of thought, especially in the sense that I give it thought now. I had my life ahead of me and my career and my family or whatever was going on seemed to take preeminence in my life. It seemed to be really all that mattered. And all of a sudden you wake up and you've marched further down the road than you realized, and you look back and you realize how fast the time has passed. How much time you have left. The Bible tells us, it says, so teach me to number my days. Teach us to number thy days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. The Bible tells us that our time upon the earth is really relatively short. When you're 20 years old, it seems like being 70 or 80 or 90, or if the Lord blesses you to live that long, is way out there. It's almost so far out on the horizon, you don't give it any thought. But for argument's sake, now, we know, and I know personally, that life can be taken from one of us today and not be here tomorrow. We know that. But for argument's sake, let's say the Lord blesses us to live 80. There's some here that have exceeded that. But that's 80 years. And if I was to apply that to my life and say, well, the Lord's going to bless me to live to be 80 years, I can go ahead and tell you that I'm about 3/4 done with the race that's set before me. We're told to run the race with patience, with endurance. But no question, I'm in the last quarter of that race. When I was in the first quarter, the first third, I didn't imagine that day would come, seemed like forever. Seemed like it was way out there, but all of a sudden you get to the three-quarter point as I am, and you look back and you think, man, where has time went? We don't have a realization of how short our time is, but the Bible clearly teaches that, yet we do not allow it to sink in. We're told by James in the 4th chapter, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Now, that's just a point that's made. We don't know whether we'll be here tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Well, that doesn't seem possible, especially when you're young. I mean, we're here. We're not just a little puff of smoke and then we vanish away. But yet, the Bible continually tells us in the backdrop of eternity where time will exist no more and you will not change. Time's what causes us to change, believe it or not. Change will not exist any longer in eternity. And time being everything to us, it seems like we have a lot of time. Then we look back and we realize that time just flew by and where is it at? And we'll get into a little bit more of that if the Lord would bless us this morning. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We could go to numerous scriptures, and I'm going to go to one more and give a little consideration to this one. It says in the 103rd Psalm, for he knoweth our frame. He knoweth our body, our form. He knows our minds and our hearts. He remembereth that we are dust. We came from the dust, and unto the dust shall we return. And unfortunately, for many of us who believe life is extremely long, returning into that dust, that process is not nearly as far off as we thought it was at 20 or 30 years old. And now we begin to get in this stage of life, and all of a sudden, we see what was way out on the horizon drawing closer, drawing nigh unto us in life. I believe that Jesus intended for you and I to live an abundant life. Not only was eternal life the greatest blessing you'll ever receive, but the life you live now is an extraordinary blessing given to you by God. You were taken from the dust of the earth. God breathed the breath of life into your nostrils and you became a living soul. You came from nothing to be someone. On top of that, God has blessed you with His Spirit and you will live forever. Your body will return to the dust, but the Lord promises to send His Son back and to raise that body from the dust and to glorify it like under the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we came from nothing to live throughout all eternity. I mean, it's a miraculous thing to think about. But this life here is a blessing. It's a real blessing. We're blessed with each other's friendship and love. Well, we should be. I believe we need to understand more about what life's about. But he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. Again, here's an analogy or how God would teach us in perspective of what our life is in length. It's like a flower that blooms one day, and you know, many flowers just bloom for just a few days and they begin to wither and fade away. It says, "For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." Another a place in Scripture among many that teach us the brevity of life, how short it really is. You know, when I went through some of the greatest tragedies in my life, been some 20 years ago, I spent about a year with a completely different perspective of life. And it reminded me that the world was going on like a bunch of ants. And why were we doing this? And why were we doing that? And things that seemed so important had no importance to me at all. And yet, by God's grace and by time, I've came back into that mold, you might say, and I've allowed the things of the world to actually pull on me a lot more than I wish they did, like they do all of us. But needless to say, whether you live to be 70, 80, or even 100 years old, time is very short. Make good use of your time. Spend it to the best of your ability. But never lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we were created for one purpose, and that's to praise and honor God. And doing so, we give Him all the glory. I think that idealism has been lost. People have come to the point of believing that serving God and honoring God is a way of convenience. You know, and poof, our life is over. I'm just telling you, we're like that flower. When the hot sun comes up and the winds blow and it begins to wilt and fade away, that's how our life is. So as we begin to talk about this, I want to go back and read a couple more verses that really brought this to my mind about a month ago, or at least part of it, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundance of grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound," or that means to super rebound, super abound to the glory of God. All things, Paul said, are for this purpose, that it might bring a superabounding amount of glory to Almighty God. "For which cause we faint not." Now, Paul has said, you know, I continue to give God the glory and the honor and the praise. And I preach and I take care of the churches and we go about doing God's work, and it's tiresome and wearisome. But he says, "I will not fail." This is the attitude that Paul had, having it far more difficult than you and I did in serving the Lord. But this was his attitude. "For we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." I'll tell you, this is a truth that I witnessed and I experienced a month ago, probably as well as I have any. You know, we've been praying for my family and Elder Vernon Venable, who passed away, and we went to his funeral Saturday a little over a month ago. I called Brother Stephen Bloyd and I told him about my uncle being in the home out there. He was unaware of it, but any of you that know Brother Steve know that he was Johnny on the spot. I mean, it was just a blessing, and he's called me a number of times. He called me when he found out Brother Vernon passed away, but he went and visited him, and he found him in a good way. He had had his troubles. He had had infections, UTIs, and had become very combative in the hospital. He couldn't find anywhere in Clovis to take him. So they finally found a place in Albuquerque. So the first thing I thought was, I'm going to call Brother Steve. And when he goes out there, you know Brother Steve will go see him, just like Brother George would have went to see him. I mean, it didn't matter how wide the river might have been, how high the mountain might have been, he'd have been there. And that's how Brother Stephen is. He went and he found him in a good way. My aunt, Aunt Jean and her daughter, Sister Susan, they were unaware that Stephen and them were meeting in Albuquerque. They didn't believe Brother Vernon was going to be able to go back to church. Stephen went and found him, and he asked him if it'd be all right, called Brother Wayne, if it'd be all right. He didn't have any church clothes. He went out and bought him a brand new suit, and he took him to church, and he said it was the most precious service they ever had. In the time that they'd been in Albuquerque, he said it had been none like it. Sweetest spirit, for a little while, for just a little while, that man began to speak of the things of God. He sung, he spoke during the songs, and Stephen said it was something he'll never forget. Well, he'd asked me to come, and I wasn't able to get there. I was going to go to Clovis when he was still in the hospital because he's been a great encouragement to me in my life. And I wanted to see him. I wanted to take the chance of seeing him before he passed. I knew that, he was perishing, that time draweth nigh in his life. So, Lord willing, the Lord blessed him to live another month, and I went out to Albuquerque on a Friday, met Brother Stephen Bloyd and Elder Asa Mosley. He's a minister in Brother Steve's church that he ordained a few years ago. And when I got there, I went straight to the home, and Brother Vernon and Gene and his daughter and son-in-law were sitting out on the patio, and he wasn't having a good day. Prior to me going out there and Brother Stephen and them for their second Sunday meeting or second Saturday meeting, He'd had to go back to the hospital. He'd gotten another infection. He'd become combative in the home, but the home wanted to take him back. And I know this is a long story, and it has, you'll understand what I'm talking about, Lord willing, here in just a little bit. So he got out of the hospital before he went out there, but he hadn't ate. He wasn't doing very well. Brother Vernon's 94 years old, and, you know, with Brother Steve, that doesn't matter. He could take a 94-year-old or a 96-year-old, and he's liable to nurse him back to health with the Lord's blessings because he's done it on numerous occasions with Elder Compton and another lady in the church. It was in her mid-70s. But anyway, I went, and Brother Vernon got a little hot. They took him back in to his room and put him in the bed, and I called Brother Steve and Brother Asa, and they had been out visiting some more sick folks there in Albuquerque, and they come to the home. And they come in there, and Brother Vernon was in the bed, and he was asleep and kind of cuddled up, and we were all in the room. And Sister Jean and Susan had never met Brother Stephen, and they wanted to meet him. And so Brother Steve come, and he said, you know, can we sing some songs? And I tell you, I seen that man rise up out of that bed, sit up, and smile. It was an amazing thing. He began to sing and tell Steve how much he loved him. And just, it was enormous to me. And we left that room, and Brother Steve quoted this verse. Yea, the outward man perisheth, but the inward man is renewed. And I seen that. I seen the Spirit of God so strong in Brother Vernon that when we began to sing the songs of Zion, the songs, Holy, 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 Thou Art God, was one of his favorite songs. And I'm telling you, he began to smile. He began to tell Brother Steve how much he loved him. He began to tell me, I know you. And I mean, it was a blessing that I wouldn't take for. He just wasn't having a good day. But I tell you what, when the Spirit of God heard the songs of Zion and when the Word of God was being spoke to Brother Vernon, there was something that become pouring out of that man that you wouldn't have seen prior to that. We left, and Brother Stephen had hope that we would be able to put him in a chair and take him to services on Saturday. Brother Steve made a point. Sister Susan didn't think he can go, but Brother Stephen said he'd be better off in that service than he wouldn't at home, regardless of how he was feeling. And there was a lot of truth in that. But a lot of folks don't just believe you can't go to church I know that's wrong. I seen a number of times in another church that I attended to, a man brought in on a hospital bed numerous times, on a hospital bed. People say they can't go to church. Brother George had to come to church in a hospital bed if he could have got here in one. I'll tell you, I know that to be a fact. But there was something in this man's heart. We go over on Saturday morning, me and Brother Ace and Brother Steve, he turned in his car, stayed where they was. We all went to the home, and he was sitting in a chair, and he couldn't go to the services, but we began to sing, and boy, he began to bring forth the thing. He just turned to a different man whenever we begin to speak of God and sing of God and offer up prayer. And Brother Stephen and them was going to stay that afternoon, but the flight they had got changed, and I took them to the airport, and I went back. But that time, Brother Vernon wasn't feeling well, and he became very itchy, you know, if you would, edgy. And he said a few things that, you know, that older folks that have problems say that you wouldn't imagine them saying. He was very testy, and he wasn't happy. He was upset. We got in there. We began to sing. I sat down and held his hand, and I began to quote the words from "The Lord Has Been So Good to Me." We read the whole song and sang, and everybody from the church came except Brother Stephen and Brother Asa that had met. And once again, I seen a miraculous change in a man who was on edge and very testy and actually on the verge of being mad. It gave me new meaning to this verse. Our outward man perish, but our inward man is renewed day by day. You see, our bodies are perishing every day. This house of clay is going to die. It's going to fall away. But the Spirit of God lives forever, whether we're young or we're old. And it was just an amazing thing to see that manifest in that man and to see what a difference the Lord made in him for just a few minutes, for just a little time. Which, you know, Brother Stephen has such a gift in that area. But I tell you, it just there for just a little bit, there was a man who had a different outlook. He wasn't frustrated. He wasn't difficult. He wasn't having a bad day. All of a sudden, he was talking about the Lord and praising God, wanting to pray. And it's a blessing that I'll never forget. And you know, it made me think. We sit around sometimes in life and we wonder why people live to be old and they have troubles. And Brother Vernon didn't have near the difficulties that Sister Dykes has had or some others. But maybe God allows those folks to linger a little while longer for our sake, not for their sake. Because we've seen a man who was not in good shape, who passed away 2 weeks later, witness and minister unto us. Maybe the blessing was for us, that we might know that even though this outward flesh is perishing every day of our life, we're getting older, we're getting weaker, that the inward man is getting stronger day by day. That's what the Bible says. You're getting stronger, the Spirit of God, because it's going to live on through eternity. So I've had this on my mind for quite a while, and I want to go now to Ecclesiastes and stay there for just a little bit and maybe bring this to a conclusion. We know that when we're young, we have such a different outlook on life than when we begin to get older. You know, the older folks now, the generation ahead of me tells me that I'm young, but you know, the fact of the matter is, those are at a point that time draweth nigh, and my shoes are beginning to feel the footsteps of those in the generation ahead of me. And it's just part of life. But it's been a great life. It's been a blessed life. Solomon says in chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes, he says, "What one generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." Now, he doesn't mean that the earth will be here, because the Bible tells us that one day this earth that we're on will burn up with fervent heat. But until the Lord comes back, this earth will abide. He begins to tell us about the cycle of life. You know, he begins to tell us when we pass away, it won't be long till we're not remembered. And you know that's a fact. How many people have passed in your life that you may have a faint remembrance of them, but it ain't long till they're not a daily thought? Sometimes when we go through that situation, we think, well, we're going to remember them and they're going to be a part of our life every day. But I think God made it to where we can move on. If you can't, you live there, you can't move on. By God's grace, we move on. He says, "The sun also ariseth and the sun goeth down and hasteth to his place where it arose. He begins to tell us there are things in life that are like the involuntary muscles in your body. Have you ever thought about that? You don't have to tell yourself to breathe. You just breathe. You don't have to tell yourself. You don't have to think about your heart beating, do you? It just beats. We don't think about the sun coming up. It's come up every day and went down every day that you and I have been alive. We take it for granted, do we not? Have you ever noticed that the Mississippi River and the great river Euphrates and all the rivers around the world have run into the ocean? But the ocean's never filled. It's going to get to that here shortly. The sun riseth and the sun goeth down and hasteth to its place where it arose. Over and over goes this cycle in our human lives. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about toward the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to its circuits. The wind blows. We don't know where it come from when it started, and when it quits, we don't know where it went. This has been a continuous pattern throughout our lives, and we've all witnessed that. We're certainly aware of these physical truths that God has presented to us in his word. If you don't believe there's a God, read the Bible. I don't know how you could not believe there is one. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. You know, the ocean has never got full enough to overtake the dry land, has it not? Water evaporates out of the ocean. God causes it to accumulate over the land, and it rains upon the land, fills the lakes and the rivers, and moistens the soil that we can grow crops. Over and over, this cycle has went. We give it no thought, do we? Just like we don't give any thought to our heart beating. We don't give any thought to breathing or blinking our eyes. These are involuntary muscles, and these are things that happen day in and day out from one generation to another as a cycle. And it goes on, it says, all things are full of labor. They're tiresome and they're wearisome. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is nothing new. There's no new thing under the sun. Man has devised nothing new. We think because we drive a car and we don't walk or ride on a horse, but it's talking about the man and his sinful nature, man and his thoughts and his deeds. That has never changed. But we talk about the shortness of life, the brevity of life. And I think about Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we'll go there for just a little while and conclude here this morning. Have you ever thought about the first verse and really give it thought? For those young folks that are here, I didn't give it thought. I very rarely ever read it when I was young. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Why does Solomon call upon you and I to remember God, the creator of the heavens and the earth? I believe he teaches us that lesson and gives us that word because it's a certainty and a surety that we'll be caught up in all the noise of the world. As I said, when I was 20 years old, my career was what I wanted to go after. I wanted to have a family, and I had kids, and I wanted these activities and those activities, and the noise was enormous. And it's no less today with 20 years olds than it was then. He said, there's a tendency for you to forget God, to push God aside, to make your work or your lifestyle or whatever it is you have a priority in your life. He says, there's coming a day. There's things that you may want to do that you will not be able to do because your body doesn't have the strength and the ability that it once had. That's how it is. We get older. We're not as strong as we was when we were young. Our eyesight begins to fade, and we'll read that. Our hearing begins to dim or go bad. And we have all those faculties. And a lot of us that have lived any amount of years begin to see those things happening to us and those around us. I mean, this just tells you how life is. Anybody that doesn't believe in God ought to read this. Written thousands of years ago, and it's happened over and over and over from one generation to the next. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. The evil days are the days of affliction, the days when our bodies are not as they was in our youth. And most of us sitting here understand that, at least to some degree, and maybe some more than others, but we understand it. We know that we was once 20, and it seems like but just a little while ago. We see now that the time that we live upon this earth really is short. The question is, like that song says, when the sun sets, can we truly say that we've walked with God? That's our purpose in this life. When the evening sun sets on your life, when you close your eyes to go home and be with the Lord, can you honestly say that I have walked with God throughout my life? Each and every day to the best of my ability? Has His grace and mercy guided me until the finish of my day? That I can say it's finished and I have walked with God? The chorus on that song is what I'm talking about. Can we honestly say that we walked with God? I hope we can, because that is our purpose and the reasoning for us being created and put here on this earth was to give God glory, no other. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Desires fade. The pleasures that we once were able to enjoy, many of the old folks don't enjoy them any longer. They fade away because of the afflictions of the body. And we're aware of that. I'm certainly aware of it. And even though I'm not 4 score or 3 score, I'm around a lot of folks that are. And it's very evident that time is not real far off. Are we making the best out of life? Or are you living life to its fullest, honoring God, always placing God as the preeminence of your life? It's not that you can't have any enjoyment in life doing the things that God has created and given unto us. Question is, do you allow those things to take the place of God, to go before God, go ahead of God in your life? This here is an admonition to young people. Remember now, not later, thy Creator in the days of thy youth. There's a purpose in that, remembering God when you were young. Because you're far more able, bodily able, physically able. Your sight is likely strong. We understand that there's those that are afflicted in youth, but in general, we're all much stronger and healthier when we were young than we are when we get older. We still have desires, but I tell you, the desires fade. And a lot of times the desires fade because the health fades so bad. What you once wanted to do, you don't have the physical ability to do, and therefore the desire leaves. The pain and the trouble of doing it is not worth trying to attempt to do it. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He says the evil days are coming when you say you have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. You know, some people believe that's the eyesight, but I believe it is the understanding and the will of the soul, the inner parts of the body, and the ability to understand things. And you see that with folks. They just can't reason. They can't understand. That day's coming if we live long enough. It causes us to fade in life, and that's why the desires fail. It says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. We've seen people that get older and they have the shakes. They tremble out of fear and all kinds of things. That comes upon us sooner than we ever realize, doesn't it? Are we living life to its fullest? Are you walking hand in hand, as that song says, with Jesus Christ each and every day? Even the longest of time in our eyes is very short in the backdrop of eternity. It's like a moment. Paul said it's but a moment. He says over there in 2 Corinthians, when we talked about the outward body perishing, he says, for our light affliction, this outward perishing, these difficulties that we're going to go through, he says it's but for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. Our outward man's perishing. Our time in life is short and brief. But there's something in us that is eternal right now. Did you know that? The Spirit of God is eternal, dwelling in every child of God. It's their dwelling right now. It says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they are few. That's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? People get older, they lose their teeth, they cease because there's few. And those that look out the windows be darkened. Some people believe that's eyesight again, but often that's the ability for the digestive system of the body to function properly, for intake and outtake and such things as that. And we all know that as we get older, those are things that hinder many folks. Amazing how the Lord laid this out through the wisdom of Solomon. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom, to understand that life is very short, life is very brief, but it is an extreme blessing for you and I to have been created to live in this life, to honor God in this life, and one day to live in His perfect world in glory. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. There's a numerous things that are taught there, but speaks one of them of the hearing. And we have a number of folks here who are not able to hear as well as they once did when they were younger. You know, we're living evidence that what God said is happening, are we not? It's happening to each and every one of us. It is. But what a good life we've had. You know, His grace and His mercy has guided us throughout life. And one day we're going to go to heaven's pure world, to glory, where you won't have the afflictions of this life. And it's a day that we ought to look forward to. A hope that we have, the anchor of our soul, as Brother Hunter Ronnie Hedges said yesterday, and he done a wonderful job in that, in his sermon at that funeral. It is the anchor of our soul, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, that's the hope that we have. He went and died, but if He wasn't resurrected, we still have no hope. All we do is in vain. But He rose. And because He rose, we have a hope in us that one day we'll put off this old sinful nature that we have, this outward man that is perishing, passing away day by day. It passes each and every day. And every year that we live, we get a little older and it begins to pass away and perish. But our inward man is renewed day by day. We become stronger. And I tell you, I believe the older folks that I see, for the majority of them, they look more and more toward that day of being with the Lord. Like Brother Wayne called me, he says, "Dad's with the Lord." And they were really happy. And we ought to be. When one of our loved ones is gone from our presence, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. That's a day that we look forward to. But until that day comes, we need to thank God with great thanksgiving for the blessings that we have each and every day. It says, "Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and the fear shall be in their way." You ever know anybody gets older that gets afraid of going up a step or taking a step? And I'm talking about small steps, not climbing on top of this building. It's fearful, because falling is fearful. It's breaking of a hip or a shoulder or whatever. It's a difficult thing to overcome as you get older. It's difficult for the body to heal and to become stronger. It says, "And the almond tree flourish. The hairs become gray or white." It's a sign that things are changing in our life. And it says, "And the grasshopper shall be a burden." It's just talking about the body, the bent over body a lot of times. The afflicted body is like the grasshopper that's bent in every way. It can be a burden to us. "Because man goeth to his long home." You know, some people want to say, well, because the Spirit of God, I believe this speaks of the body going to the grave. And the mourners go about the streets, do they not? When we lay someone to rest, there's a lot of mourning that takes place. Sometimes more so with younger than it is the older, but it is something that goes on. "Or ere the silver cord be loosed and the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern." These are things that happen to us as we go over. This is what the evil days is about. "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." You know, our time is brief. And I'm thankful that our inward man is renewed day by day, even though this old body is perishing. And you know, we can go to all the doctors in the world, and God give us doctors for a reason. We can go to all the scientists in the world, but you cannot stop the perishing of this old carnal flesh. It's going to perish. And there's going to come a day when it ceases. And as I look back, I realize that that day for me is not that far off. Even if it's 20 years or 25, the last 20 years since I went through the ordeal I have is like yesterday. I just can't imagine. I think about Brother George. I mean, just think back how long that's been, and it seems as though it's yesterday. I mean, when we get to thinking about folks that have passed, sometimes it just shocks me to realize how many years it really has been and how fast time has went. Life is brief at best. Make good use of your time. Love one another the way God wanted us to love one another. Encourage one another the way God wanted us to encourage one another. Lift one another up. Help them carry their burdens. Mourn with them. Rejoice with them. That's the purpose that we were put here for. You can read Matthew 25. We were not created to console ourselves. We were not created to go out and have all the good times we wanted and just satisfy ourselves. We were created to help one another. And that gives God glory and honor and praise. In every way, we ought to be desirable to help one another, to lift one another up, to help carry one another's burdens. And above all, love one another with all the love that we can give to the best of our ability. Understanding that none of us are perfect. We're all sinners. We're all in need of God's grace. We need help from each other because sometimes I fall. Sometimes you may fall. We're all going to fall because we're all sinners. We need God's grace and we need His mercy every day. So make good use of your time because time is brief on this earth. And if we do that, we'll give God the praise, the honor, and the glory that He deserves. May God bless us to do that. I thank you for your attention this morning.